And I want to read it again because I didn't really want to combine it with the other part. The mighty God, even the Lord, has spoken and called the earth from the rising of the sun unto the going down thereof. Now let's face it. This is Matthew 24. As the sun rises in the east and sets in the west. In other words, it's all over and God is doing it. God has come down. As Brother Branham said, when his son and daughter sinned in the Garden of Eden, he never sent a cherubim, an angel, a messenger. He himself came down so today. He said, as God went down to Egypt, Moses, and revealed him, not only revealed himself or manifest himself in signs and wonders, but visibly seen the pillar of fire upon Mount Sinai, so today we have his picture. And there it is over the picture on the wall. All right. The mighty God, even the Lord. The mighty God, even Jehovah. Elohim, even Jehovah. There you see again the great mysterious Elohim. Unapproachable. Just stand back. He does what he wants to do. Forget it. Then you see Jehovah coming right down. Mingling with man, becoming a man. Eight redemptive titles, of which sanctification is the eighth one. We're already started into it. Being called out and separated for the great millennium. Marvelous what's going on. And you notice the truth and beauty of it, even in Ephesians. I want to bring this out at this while I'm talking to you, because it fits in here nicely. It says, in whom you trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of salvation. In whom, after you believed, you received the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. It tells you right there, there's a further sanctification. The Holy Spirit baptism is temporal. It's to get you to the resurrection. But what about after the resurrection? Well, hey, now we're getting into the tremendous headship of the incarnate God in the Lord Jesus Christ leading his people like sheep. And they shall build and others shall not inhabit. And they shall plant and others shall not eat thereof. Yep. We're looking for that great day, and that great day has dawned on us. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God has shined. In other words, the God of the New Jerusalem, the God of the bride. The same one that shined in the east has shined in the west, the same Son of Man. The same one, God, even Jehovah, Elohim, even Jehovah, manifesting himself. Now he said, our God shall come and shall not keep silence. And then watch what happens after he doesn't keep silence, after we hear from heaven, after the sun sets in the west, after the same light, the same ministry, the same vindication God doing for the Gentiles. It says here, a fire shall devour before him and be very tempestuous round about him. Malachi chapter 4. There it is again. Now he shall call to the heavens from above and to the earth, that he may judge the people. There again I said, there's Moses. In Deuteronomy, hear, O earth, and hear, O heavens. Gonna stand right here, he said. You know, I'm gonna tell you something. You just start thinking of Moses and Paul and William Branham. And you're gonna see an absolute unity of spirit, because it's one God in three manifestations or ministries in those three great men. Stand right there. Moses, hear, O heaven. Hear, O earth. I challenge you. And William Brown said, I challenge you. Paul said, I challenge you. Oh, man. Wouldn't every Pentecostal love to go around challenging people? You don't need to challenge anybody anymore. You believe it. Hey, listen. The shoe is on the other foot. And I mean the devil's foot. Old split hoof has got an iron red hot shoe on, as far as I'm concerned. And he'll dance. He'll dance with pain, I'll dance with joy. We'll dance. We're allowed to dance, don't worry. Yep. To judge the people. Psalm number 1. Left hand, right hand. The widow says, avenge me. Make me right. I want my property. I am right. You'll hear about the enforcement when we get to the tree of the bride tree, restoration. I want it, she said. I'm going to have it. Yep. He's judging his people. What's his judgment? You're the righteous, sinless bride. Didn't do it in the first place. Tricked in it. He shall, now, gather my saints together unto me. Those that made a covenant with me by sacrifice. Bring my saints together based on the message of Paul, which was the message of the cross. Be perfect, even as your Father. Brother Branham said God made a way for that commandment. He said the blood of Jesus Christ scatters sin until there be no evidence. How can you convict a man without evidence, see? Gather my saints, and the heavens shall declare his righteousness, for God is judge himself. Now what is this righteousness talking about here? The proof, the vindication of the reality of his word by bringing it to pass. God's his own interpreter. And he leads in the worship by revelation. There isn't any worship without revelation. You cannot worship and serve God apart from a prophet. Hear, O my people, and I will speak to Israel, and I'll testify against thee. I am God, even thy God. You say, well, did God testify against us? He sure did when he preached the anointed ones at the end time and brought us all out. He let us know we're part of the wretched, miserable, naked bunch, because he said, I stand at the door and knock. Come on out, I'll give you the what's real. Brother Branham spoke on a genuine baptism with the Holy Ghost. Amen. I will not reprove thee for thy sacrifice, thy burnt offerings, and continue before me. I will take no bullock out of thy house, nor he goats out of thy folds, for every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills. And Brother Branham told us he's come back to claim it all. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. He's come back to claim it. He's doing it right now. I know all the fowls of the mountains, the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine, the fullness thereof. Well, eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats. Offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High. And call upon me in the day of trouble. I'll deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. See, we've always wanted to glorify God a little bit even. That's been my prayer all for about over half a century. We're doing it right now. So I didn't know that to glorify God. I didn't either. I read the Bible. You know, you'll learn a lot. You learn a lot of things by reading the Bible. Especially adapting it to this message and the message of the Bible. Bringing it back and forth. See? But the wicked saith to God, what hast thou to do to declare thy statutes, or that thou should take my covenant in thy mouth? You know, what has the wicked got to do with the word of God? Nothing. Seeing thou hatest instruction and castest my words behind thee. See? When thou sawest deceit, then thou consentest with him and hast been partaker with adulterers. If that isn't the church today, I'll just eat my shirt. Or eat yours. I don't care what it is. See? Thou givest thy mouth to evil, and thy tongue frameth deceit. Thou sinnest and speakest against thy brother, standeth thine own mother's son. These things thou hast done, and I kept silence. Thou thoughtest that I was altogether such a one as thyself, but I'll reprove thee, and set them in order before thine eyes. Innocent. Now consider this, ye that forget God, lest I tear you in pieces, and there be none to deliver. Whoso offereth praise glorified me, and to him that ordered his conversation right will I show the salvation of God. How can you do that without a vindicated prophet? Tell me. You can't do it. What was I talking about tonight? Communion. What is communion? The sacrifice. God could not honor the sacrifices under the law. Oh, it went a long, long way. You bet it did. It went a long way. Only the prophet had close to the baptism with the Holy Ghost that you and I now enjoy under the age of grace. The last 2 days, 2,000 years. It's marvelous. But God now looking down, he said, you're holding, and we're looking at this now, God, we're holding your sacrifice that you gave. We're honoring the death of the Lord Jesus Christ until you come. But now remember this, he is already here proving his resurrection. It's not that he's here personally in the sense of the incarnation. That's not coming in flesh we're talking about. We're talking about the appearing, the days of the Son of Man. We're talking about that one called Elohim. Brother Branham said Jehovah the Old is the Jesus of the New. I don't care what you call it. Elohim Jehovah. That's exactly who he is. Not two gods, one God. Manifesting, revealing himself. This end time. He's come down. Why? Because this is the hour of the resurrection. Proving that Christ is risen from the dead. God himself doing it. So, brother, sister, as we take the communion, the elements tonight, remember one thing, we're showing his death till he come. And since he's here at the head of the church, we are rejoicing in a manner which our forebears could not rejoice, that God is here, spiritual head of his church. He is here. As Brother Branham said, headship has come. The one that brought the word to gather his people will soon utter his voice to bring forth the dead. He's got to. Now look, let's not get in a hurry. You can't make it happen ahead of time. It only causes agitations and jitters, wonderments, doubts. Don't do it. Get you thinking about Brother Branham saying this and saying that, and then you want to bring in all kinds of things. Just hold steady. Brother Branham made the final statement. He said, everything the bride needs to have, she got under those seven seals. The seven seals were open. People were agitated. They don't think the seventh seal is open. Then how could the Bible, how could the scroll be open? You can't open six and have the seventh one spending everything down. You'd still be in the same bad shape. You're kind of looking between the lines hoping you can read something. Seven thunders utter their voices. The mysteries. And there again, why are people looking for more mysteries? I don't know why. They think if it gets so mysterious, they'll be able to tell you something, get you running to them. I've got news for you. I can't tell you anything unless I see it right here in Brother Brown's preaching. And then I don't know 100% if I'm right, just by the grace of God, I trust I am going back and forth through the Word. But I got no great things to tell you. But I can tell you this, he is risen from the dead. Proven, absolutely proven. No two ways about it. He became the first fruits of those that slept, and he's going to be the same first fruit for those that are sleeping now, and for those that are standing here. He is that tree of life, gives us immortality. You can't change it, brother, sister. Yeah, you can't do it. Now, everything's in a dimension. Everything's in the dimension. See? What's everything? Everything you see and around you is a dimension. Well, where'd you come from? From Word. So everything right now is all in this Word here. And as God just brings forth each Word, in the right minute, the right second, your right heartbeat, just going on. Now suddenly the last person's going to die and be buried. From that time on, no more bride dies. No. Well, they could take a shotgun and blow you right through this year or next year. There's no way you're going to die. Because the last one died. There an angel God again standing here. What are they going to do about that? Nothing. They can't. Well, try. How are you going to fight God? How are you going to defeat God? See, Jonah tried that. He couldn't defeat God. He loused himself up. Of course, God straightened him out, but you don't hear anything of Jonah from that time on. Last you hear, he's grumbling about these vines that got cut down. Not a very happy ending for the prophet, yet God honored his prophet by making him a type. Jesus in the resurrection. But anyway, that's the picture tonight. We're looking at communion. We positively recognize the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, the shed blood that atoned, the Holy Spirit that came back upon us because of that. And right tonight, we glorify God because the same ministry of Elohim, Jehovah, in the Lord Jesus Christ is right here tonight. Same God is here, proving the resurrection. And because he lives. Now listen, we're not talking about a spirit, just God living. We're talking about the fact that Jesus, that man himself, is alive right now on the throne. We are going to live also. So we got mediator, intercessor, and what? Beyond even that. We got the complete assurance and vindication in that person. We're going to be like him. And that's what Paul said. Without that, he said, I'm just a miserable person. Now let's turn that around tonight and make it a happy occasion to know he's living. And we're going to live with him. Will the brethren come forward then so we can take the emblems? And there's room back here for foot washing. Don't remember that for men. We've got a lot of room out there too. Sisters go in the back. So if the brethren come forward, we'll begin to... We'll pray over the emblems. So let's all rise at this time. And we can begin to come forward as you know how to come forward. Heavenly Father, we partake of these emblems at your command and at your discretion, will, and love. We're allowed to do that tonight at this very hour, which you foreknew and knew all about. Speak to our hearts now, Lord, and impress upon us the reality of the fact, yes, the shed blood scattered sin shall there be no evidence. Judgment is past. And even the long, long night is past that you're here yourself, head of your church. You brought your message to the prophet. We believe that people are gathered to it, Lord. We're part of it. We're waiting now for that voice to bring them out of the ground. And we to consort with them, Lord, maybe up to 40 days. I don't know. Whatever would please you, Father, that would certainly be more than pleasing to us. It would be just right. And then there comes the rapture. The wedding supper, those other things. Father, we believe that's in our confession tonight, our witness, as we partake of these emblems, that though you died, you rose again. And we are risen with you in a newer and greater way than we realize, and looking for the end of all things. Unto thee we give honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Everybody finished, I presume? Any more back there? That's fine. I know the word of the Lord is simple, but that's what Brother Branham said it was. And we increase in knowledge and revelation of him as we have this word. And that's what we're here for tonight, was to receive understanding. And I marvel at the simplicity of the message that Brother Branham brought us. I also marvel at my stupidity. When I see things in the Word that I think, man, I should have seen that 25 years ago. If we just follow certain principles that Brother Branham laid down, there wouldn't be one of us that could go astray. You couldn't. There's no way. You just know the Word. So we appreciate your presence and your love, your consideration, your faith. And so let's rise and be dismissed. Heavenly Father, as we all go home tonight, we know we are going with you, and we're going increased in knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We know we're going home, Lord, having taken the Lord's Supper, having been here, and we're going home to better for it. Not as in ages gone by and days gone by when people came to church and they went home the worse for it. But Lord, here we are, and we know we're going home to better for it, and tomorrow better for it. And every day, Lord, as we pile word upon word, the old dross of misunderstanding and misinterpreting and all those things be burnt out in the living word of God, the gentle, sweet glow of Almighty God take precedence in our hearts, minds, and lives. And one day, Lord, we know that this transfiguring, transforming word, if we die, we'll wake in your likeness. And if we're standing here suddenly like Abraham and Sarah, a true picture of those going to the millennium, going to stand right here, young men and young women, 16, 19 years of age, in the beauty and the glory of you standing right here, Lord, and with all your bride members taken up to the wedding supper. Hallelujah, Lord. We praise you for it. Oh, God, we just thank the bottom of our hearts that this is the word of the Lord for the people, his people of the hour. Thank you for healing us, Lord. Thank you for taking care of all of our problems. We just thank you, Lord, that you're here as our head. We appreciate it so much. We give thee glory and honor, and may your name be marvelously glorified, Lord. May you be worshipped as not just as your due, Lord, but from the depth of our heart as loving children, adopted children, placed children of God. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise, God be all power, honor, and glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Take the name of Jesus with you.
In service, so what we'll do, we'll just read over here, and we'll just go ahead. I'm going to read... I don't know why, but I will. Isaiah 53, that has to do with the very service we're talking about. And it says, who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Brother Branham talked about that hand right there. I mean the scripture, that song telling about it. God's going to use him as his hand. God's going to use him as the... You know what a hand does? A hand picks things up. A hand picks things up and a hand goes ahead and and moves things around. It puts things in order. If the one that reaches down and gives you food, the arm goes further. The arm makes the hand possible. Who made it all possible? Jesus did. How did he make it possible? For the prophets, the apostles, teachers, evangelists, pastors, every member of the bride of Jesus Christ. How did he make it possible? He made it possible. No one else could do that work of that hand here without that arm reaching down. He grew up before him as a tender plant, a root out of dry ground, no form, no comeness. And when they'll see him, there's no beauty they should desire him. No, you know why? Because he conks on the head all their beautiful thoughts and their beautiful doctrines and everything they had all figured out. They were just too smart for God. Yep. So they got mad at God. They said, hey, we can do a better job than this. They despised him, rejected him. Why? Because he preached the word. He came against their creeds and dogmas. Man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. Yep. He would have loved to have them come in, but then, oh, no way. They hid their faces. Hey, no way. We won't give them a look. Come on, look. Hey, take a look. No, we ain't going to look. Nah. You think that's not happening today? Come on. Come on. Alpha's always Omega, brother, sister. When they crucify to themselves, it's always the same thing. But watch. See? Surely has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. That actually means healing, sickness and pain. If I had not done the works, nor the man did, they had not sinned. But now they've both hated me and my Father. Right in front of them. They wouldn't esteem him. Now, no way. Now, do you think for 1 minute the people that come against the revealed word of God and the Holy Ghost in this hour esteem Christ upon the cross, smitten of God and afflicted? Do you think that they're part of that? There's no way. Come on. No way. Listen, smart enough. Do you realize that you are not going to go to the lake of fire and having part of your hands hanging out to get cool? The rich man in hell, if they said, oh, he said, let Lazarus come and put a drop on my tongue, it's hot. He said, I'm sorry, all of you's in there. There's no white black bird, no drunk sober person, no half in hell individual. There's no bride that's out there floating around hoping to be part of the holy city. Hey, she's part of the foundation. She's got 12 foundations. Oh, man, you talk about a city. 12 foundations, they just haven't even begun hardly. 12 foundations? Gates miles wide? Hey, listen. I don't think we should have a foot washing service. I think we have a Jubilee march, but there's nobody here at the tambourine. We get accused of not being lively enough. If I got any more lively, I'd be shouting hallelujah. It wouldn't hurt me if I didn't, or you. I'm not against praising God. I'm just against thinking you can get by with praising God, living in sin and fighting the word, being contrary to truth, and think that'll make it up for you. You say, well, God, I'm sorry I did it, and you still won't pay a price? Come on. How many times you've been sorry that you stuck your hand on a hot plate? How many times did you pray to God and got healed? 99 out of 100 you never got healed. Not that you couldn't have been having done it accidentally. Hey, come on. He was wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquities. Then if he was already done that, chastened our peace upon him, how in the world are you going to get lost? Now you can get slapped around for being disobedient. God will whip you. And without even doing anything, he'll check you out and try you. Yeah. And it's tough. No chastening for the time being seems joy, but afterward the peaceful fruit is this. Hey, that's great. Hey, man, I got your hand. When the race is over and you begin to take off your old armor, you've been fighting. Man, that feels good. And, of course, if you can't take it off, it's a little bit harder, but you just keep moving. But one day you'll take it off. You say, oh, man, that feels good. See? Right down the line. All right, that's what the Lord's Supper is all about. It's what he did. We thank him for doing it. He died to do it. It cost him his life blood. He did it. Now it's accomplished. Never to be done again. So all right, let the brethren come forward that's going to serve. And we'll have them. We got, don't forget back here, we got some places for men to wash their feet. Makes it easier. Let's rise at this time. Now you know how we come. We got one person takes care of the bread. We got two sides where the men take care of the wine. Makes it much easier. The men have a place back there to wash feet. You all know how we do things here. So all right, let's pray over the communion table. Heavenly Father, in this hour, we see all these things, oh God, they come from our lips. They come so fast. They come in our thoughts and our minds, and Lord God, it could be glib. We pray that it is not glib. We pray, Lord, that not is it only the truth, but it is a serious, sober, righteous, wonderful, life-giving truth. It's our very being, and our very being is based upon it. We coming forth, Lord, will come forth in your image and shine in your brightness, not our own. Everything you accomplished, Lord, starts with that blood, and the word takes over. I pray tonight, Lord, as they go through the line, and the emblem of the broken body and the shed blood are partaken. You take over, Lord, so there'll be a sowing and a reaping consistent with the word. Watching. Because it's watching under eternity. May we have treasure in heaven. May none of us fail of the goodness of God. May we be strengthened tonight, Lord, in this service, communion and foot washing. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray, amen.
Fellowship together around the word, and I trust it's been a good time for your souls where the word comes in. Remember, as that word is watered, it's got to come forth in the same channels it came in through, which means there will be manifestation. Let's rise and be dismissed at this time. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your presence, your personal presence with the bride, your presence, Lord, by the Holy Spirit here, the measure of word which we have. We ask the Lord to heal the sick amongst us and look down upon those who could not come and heal them in their homes, Lord. We just pray in the holy name of Jesus Christ. We know, Lord, that there's more than sufficient. There's never a time when the amplitude of God has not been on this earth. And so therefore, Lord, we need not fall short in anything, especially in this hour in which we live. We've seen the glory of God. So, Father, we just ask you now to go with us, protect us, keep us, and bring us back tomorrow in a deeper spirit of Christ because of the further revelation we have received. May the joy unspeakable full of glory be upon our countenance, our very lives, as we communicate with each other in love and offer you praise in the name of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Take the name of Jesus with you.
We pray, Lord, as we read a little bit of Scripture, you'll anoint us to the end that we see more of the divine revelation and truth, which is in your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now, the 69th Psalm, we won't read it all, but there's a thought in here concerning Christ where David is saying, "Save me, O God, for the waters are come into my soul. I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I'm coming to the deep waters where the floods overflow me. I'm weary of my crying. My throat is dried, mine eyes fail while I wait for my God. They that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of mine head. They that would destroy me, being mine enemies wrongfully, are mighty. Then I restored that which I took not away. O God, thou knowest my foolishness, my sins are not hid from thee." See, all in through here you find an interweaving of this, the Spirit of Christ identifying with David, the prophet king, who is in great depths of problems because of what he did, and yet the Spirit of Christ coming through telling us, moving through David and some of the experiences there, he said, they would destroy me. They hate me without a cause. Mine enemies wrongfully are mighty. I restored that which I took not away. David could be saying that in a very minor key, but there's no way he could say that he hadn't done wrongfully and he hadn't taken that which wasn't his. He did. He took Bathsheba. So you see the Spirit of Christ in here all the way through. He said, "Oh God, thou knowest," that's sixth verse, let not them that wait on thee, O Lord God of hosts, be ashamed for my sake. Let not those that seek thee be confounded for my sake, O God of Israel, because for thy sake I have borne reproach. Shame hath covered my face. I am become a stranger to my brethren, an alien unto my mother's children. For the zeal of thine house has eaten me up, and the reproaches of them that reproach thee are fallen upon me." So you can see coming through again the life of Christ, the reproach that he bore, hated without a cause, only having done good, and what is doing it? The zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. Now, what was wrong with Israel? Zeal without knowledge. They did not have a knowledge of the true God. Now, we'll be accused of being zealots, fanatics, and everything under high heaven. We're going to be cults and everything else. Oh, those guys are just crazy. But you see, they don't understand that our zeal is a zeal from God against the zeal of their organizations. Israel had a zeal without knowledge. We have a zeal because of knowledge. See, their zeal is to keep what they got. I don't understand. You know, when you begin to figure that this thing started way back in Rome, hundreds and hundreds of years ago, almost 2,000 years ago, you think, my heavens, what are they trying to perpetuate? Can't they see history? Can't they understand? What do they think anyway? Where are they coming from? Insanity. And you know what? This word of God is responsible for their insanity. That is the depth of it. Because they gotta face it. And they won't do it though. No. For the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up, and the reproaches of them that reproach thee are fallen upon me. Jesus said, if I had not done the works that other men did, they had not sinned, but now they've both seen and hated both me and my Father. And Israel said, are we blind? He said, if you had not said you could see, if you were blind, your sin would not remain. But now that you say, aha, we see, we've got light, don't you talk to us, your sin remaineth. How can anybody claim the blood of Jesus Christ and sins forgiven when they come against the Word? You tell me. You know, I get overpowered with these things that Brother Brown was pointed out. All you got to do is just listen to the man, and you go all the way through the Scripture. You can see exactly why things are the way they are. Well, I'll tell you what. That lets us know. We're on the right track. We're on the inside track. And by the grace of God, we're going to make it. When I wept and chastened my soul with fasting, that was to my reproach. What good did it do? I made sackcloth of my garment. It became a proverb to them. They that sit in the gate speak against me. I was a song of the drunkards. Huh? What about all these singers in America today making fun of Jesus? What do you think about those who got a Trinitarian God and sing these songs to rock beat, hard rock and everything else. And the Christians condone it, laud them by saying, well, hey, the kids love this rock and roll. It's purely of the devil. It's been proven it's of the devil. And say, well, we'll make Christian words to it. Great. You see, where are the people? But as for me, my prayer is unto thee, O Lord, in an acceptable time. Ha ha. God always answered the right time. O God, the multitude of thy mercy, hear me in the truth of thy salvation. Deliver me out of the mire, let me not sink. Let me be delivered from them that hate me out of the deep waters. Now remember, Brother Branham said the church has to go through this too. The bride was buried in the fourth age, started to come forth. But every time there's a persecution. Will they close the doors of our church? Yes. Are they at better? Is something wrong somewhere? Will there be a pressure come down to squeeze? Well, he said so. I'm not going to argue. What's going to prepare us for it? Nothing but the Word. Nothing else, because there's where the Holy Spirit resides, there's where the strength is. So let it come. When we take communion, we show forth His death. We therefore show forth our death. Yep. But at the same time, we know the one that died rose again and brought forth the life, which is in the wine. Yep. So though we may go through trial, suffering, and persecution, that's the order of the hour. We've been through it. We'll be through more of it. And whatever comes, life, death, persecution, famine, sword, nakedness, peril, nothing will separate us from the love of God, and we'll know it, just like Paul, I believe. But the communion shows these things, that we agree, because that's what communion is, an agreement. We're talking together. One that rapped at the door, said, we'll open the door, come on in, talk. So we have communion tonight, foot washing. And we believe that this means something to us. This adds to us. It's a blessing. It's a great thing to be able to do it amongst Christian brethren. It's so wonderful to have you all here to fellowship with you around the Word, around the table. And know we're all marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. Marching upward. Yeah, marching upward Zion, the beautiful city of God. Being a part of it. What would be any favor to march up there and find the gates were closed? That's not the way it is. Those that march up there have open, have the gates open. Yeah. Yeah, even the foolish virgin come in and go on out. Come into the city. And the beautiful thing, he stands back and he said, this is the people you didn't like, but this is my bride. You come on now. And you admit it. You're going to fall right down here, worship me, and as you do, you're going to admit her. Now, they which were a people are now a people. Not a people, they're now a people. Priests and kings unto God. All these things are ours, brother, sister. All of them are ours. And Brother Branham said, the curse of this hour would be people becoming careless. And he feared deeply that we'd be taken away with the things of the world, this thing and that thing, instead of carried along with the Word of God. How sad that people have this opportunity and do not avail themselves of it. Let's rise at this particular time. The brethren come forward and we'll pray over the emblems. And you know, foot washing the men out there, but there's also room back here for men, about maybe 10 men. So don't, you can go back here in this room. I'll open the door for you. That means foot washing is easier and simpler. The women have a larger quarters, but they'll be well taken care of. Heavenly Father, as we look to you now, we ask you to anoint this time of fellowship together, and especially, Lord, the consecration of this bread and the taking of the wine before you, Lord, in a state of complete fellowship with you and with each other, Lord. No longer looking, Father, at a day of wrath and looking at ourselves as though we're unclean, but knowing, Lord, you have cleansed us and you've declared by your word, you the judge, that you're the perfect little righteous bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. You didn't do it in the first place. You were tricked into it. It all falls back upon Satan, who did it all. Father, we thank you for that. It gives us great encouragement to partake of the emblems, knowing, Lord, that you've cleansed us. And if you've cleansed us, who dare say we are not clean? How dare we call that unclean or unsanctified, which you've cleansed and sanctified? Lord, we lift our hearts to you in adoration and praise that this is so, in fellowship together. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Fire to worship with us, we know that you love the Word, and that's been our bond. And as Brother Branham said, how can you not help love each other? You that love this Word. And I believe that's where the real love is. It comes out of this Word, because everything is created by the Word. Everything is maintained by the Word. And at the final analysis, that's all there's going to be, Word. Things that are to be. And they've started now, and there'll be no finish. We appreciate that. We love you. Let's rise and be dismissed. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you again for your love and mercy to us. We thank you for these good people coming to be with us. We appreciate that, Lord. We know they're not here to honor men, honor us, but because they're fellow worshipers of you, Lord, according to the truth, as we have seen set forth by a vindicated prophet. Trusting, Lord, that we are one with that word, be therefore one with you, one with thee, in fellowship with the saints. So, Father, we commend ourselves tonight now and ask you, Lord, to
Lead, guide, and direct us through this pilgrim pathway. And may in the days to come our paths shine brighter and brighter under that perfect day. We give you the glory in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Take the name of Jesus with you.
Communion table. And we read it many, many times. Over in 1 Corinthians 11, Paul speaking of to be followers that he is of Christ. Now I want you to notice something here, that Paul was a follower of Christ only insofar and totally. With everything else barred. Totally under revelation. He himself was not a follower of Jesus. He was not an apostle. He was one born out of due season. But he was the apostle to come in as that 12. The other 11 apostles, the disciples, they elected somebody else because Judas fell. And they said, hey, I think we better make up the full group. And they blew it. They voted without God. So, Brother Branham said, you never heard of the guy again. The same as you never heard of Barnabas again. You know, I used to think Barnabas, because it said, separate me by the Holy Ghost, that he must have been a genuine sheep. How could he be a genuine sheep when he withstood Paul and said, I think Timothy should be circumcised? Now, that fellow understood the first thing about truth, and then he couldn't. See, he blew it right there. It's like these people try to tell you about the presence. They say that word presence proves you're not what we teach it to be. They don't even know what you're talking about. When Jesus, when the disciples came in Matthew, was it 24, he said, when will be the sign of thy coming? Everybody reads it as though the disciples understood his first coming, his death and resurrection, and his second coming. I got news for you. When they asked that question, they were dumb as dodos. They didn't understand his first coming. They didn't understand his death. They didn't understand his resurrection. And when they stood with him in his resurrection, they still didn't understand it. How many believe that? You're pretty weak, but I can prove it to you. I wouldn't stick my neck on, and you know, because, hey, I'm not smart, but neither am I completely dumb. Let me read you something. Now, here's what it says in Acts 1. The former treatise I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he's taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion, many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking things pertaining to the kingdom. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, wait for the promise of the Father, which said, ye heard of me. For John truly baptized the water, you be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked him, Lord, wilt thou this time restore the kingdom of Israel? That proves the statement when they said, what would be the sign of thy appearing? He's there talking about this. They still thought even now that he pulled something out of the basket, so to speak, and sweep in the kingdom. They didn't have the revelation of the Gentiles and everybody else coming in. So how in the world is anybody going to take and twist the scripture in the light of the evidence of chronology? You can't do it. But believe me, they do it. Don't worry. Now, Paul only knew Jesus by revelation. And every single thing that we hear in this scripture that Brother Branham taught is a revelation. And Brother Branham received from the same pillar of fire the revelation that brought it to Paul. And he said, now I praise your brethren, remember me in all things, and keep the ordinances that I delivered you. And remember that ordinance that he delivered of the Lord's Supper was by revelation. Absolutely a revelation. The very man that fought the kingdom of God and thought he was doing God a favor by killing as many of the bride as he could was one day confronted by God, Elohim, Jehovah himself, in a pillar of fire. And said, I was the one that was here on earth walking in flesh. That one had turned back to the pillar of fire. Paul called him Lord. And he wasn't talking of two gods and three gods and four gods. He was talking of one God, Elohim, the God of the Israelites. And he said, I received the Lord that which I delivered unto you. And notice what he received of the Lord, Jehovah himself, Elohim. The same one that said, Brother Branham said, is right down here now, going to take the bride out. He said that the Lord Jesus is when we eat that bread and drink of that cup. Now right off the bat, I want you to notice something. I have received of Elohim that which I delivered unto you. For I received of Jehovah. It doesn't matter which it is because his name in Isaiah is Jehovah Elohim. And you'll see there's where they use the words. And you'll find other words in there also to describe that one God as to exactly what he is. How he will manifest and how he will deal with his people. What you may expect of him and what he will have come back from you. Elohim himself delivered unto the Apostle Paul. And he said, Jesus Christ actually told him, no doubt by visions, gave him the whole picture. And he saw him right there. He saw that Son of God betrayed. And in that night, he did this very thing. Now, let us understand what I'm saying. I'm understanding and telling you there are not two gods, and we're not preaching two gods. And there are not three gods. Jesus only is wrong. Trinity's wrong. There's only one people, right, and that's the ones that follow Paul. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so he said, blessed be God who is the Father of this Son, that the night he was betrayed unto his death, did this. Now he didn't say God did it, he said the Son did it. He never even said God and the Son did it because God had left the Son in the Garden of Gethsemane, evidently. Now, if this is before the Garden of Gethsemane, he's still with him. It's the gap, the Garden of Gethsemane, he left anyway. So chronology, I'm not too worried about, but I'm worried about truth. Although chronology is valuable. And here's what was said. Here's what Jesus himself said concerning himself. Take ye, this is my body broken, you do this remembrance of me. Now, what remembrance did they have of him? The remembrance they had of him, it was that he was that prophet, that Messiah that was to come. Absolutely proven by vindication, no ifs, ands, or buts, that he was that one. Didn't Peter say, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God? Then all right, that's part of the remembrance. See? Didn't they also say, show us the Father suffices us? All right? Didn't they also say, now we believe? What did they say in those days? Well, that's what it says right here. This do in remembrance of me. So, all right. You say, well, I think that's just concerning his death. I think you're wrong. I think if you and I take the emblems tonight and we don't remember who he is, we're not getting anywhere. We're taking it in vain. So, who is he? What did he do? Where did he come from? Where is he now? What is going on? Well, they say the Lamb came down. I beg to differ. The Lamb did not come down. If he is, where is he? I want to know. Anybody can talk. Talk for conscience sake. Talk for money. Talk for this. Let's get down to the truth. Do they have a right to take the Lord's Supper? Well, sure, they want to. They're going to drink condemnation. Say, why? Well, if they're drinking to one God, the Jesus only, there's something wrong somewhere. Now, we are one God. We are oneness. We're not Jesus only. Jesus only never ever said the Father talked to the Son and the Son to the Father because the Son is his own Father. The Father is his own Son or something like that. Now, you're just bad as the Trinitarians. In fact, there's a great mixture there. What a mess we can get into. But how delightful and beautiful when we just believe what he says. He said, God came down and told me about this Son that I had a part in destroying. Yeah. Here's what he told me. Here's what I saw in the vision. I saw him that night of betrayal. And that had to be in the chronology. The betrayal, you take right to the judgment, is past Gethsemane, past everything. I looked at him. And he said, this represents my body broken. And do this in remembrance of me. Now, if he didn't qualify to be the sacrificial lamb by vindication, this was all off. So now God shows Paul that this was the sacrificial lamb. This is Messiah. This is not somebody leading you simply to promised land. This is atoning for your sins to put you far beyond the promised land, far beyond milking the Gentile's breast, far beyond it all, right in the kingdom of God, right to New Jerusalem, ruling and reigning. This goes way beyond. Paul saw it. John saw it. So that's the picture tonight. Eating and drinking. Remembering him. And the death cleared the way to give everything he stood for and said he procured that was ours. And I repeat the scripture again tonight over in the book of Romans. If God spared not his son, but freely delivered him up for us all. There it is. How shall he not also with him freely give us all things? And you see him tonight as the giver of all things, the payer of all prices, the prophet, the one in whom was God, operated by visions, knew how to stand out of the way. Only his words were the words of God. He never had his own word, never had his own power. Stood there in obedience. If you get the picture tonight, the blood will, I believe, obtain. But if you don't see the picture, you got something else in your mind. I have something else which is not scriptural. I don't believe it works. Because the blood perfects the bride, scatters sin, shall there be no evidence. That's got to be something more than just saying, Lord, I believe. I know he died. Now we'll give it a real shot. Where 20,000 charismatic Pentecostal Catholics had a great time, I think, in Brazil as they all worshiped Mary. You see why I'm a sticker the way I am? Look, if I die and go to hell, that's no big deal. That's no big deal. God could annihilate me. The biggest deal in my whole life will be if I could have just this one satisfaction. Even if Lee Vale only operates by his intellect. I don't think that's the truth, but let's say with my detractors it is. I operate by my intellect, and I'm merely mechanical. Thank God for the mechanics.
Amen.
At least I had that much. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! I have crossed the riven veil where the glories never fail. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! I am living in the presence of the King. Do you believe that tonight?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let's praise the Lord. Praise God. Thou art wonderful, Lord. Hallelujah. They said we couldn't praise you, Lord. We can because we praise out of a full heart, out of a love of your word, Lord, out of an attraction, out of a magnetism, out of a well, Lord, out of a river that you put within our beings, Lord, and we exalt and that tonight, O God, and praise your name, because it's the word and the life that's in the word and the word in the vessel. Hallelujah. We're becoming the ark over which God is watching to bring us into the proper place. Let your people know it tonight, Lord, as never before. And let us live as clean vessels as never before as we praise your name, O God. And know the victory is ours through Jesus Christ, the living one. We give you glory. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Nothing wrong with praising God. It's comely. It's good for the saints. Let's rise at this time. The brethren come forward to serve the emblems. You know, we have the little cups now. Kind of slows us down in a way, but that's all right. It's a little better that way. So let's just bow our heads. The brethren here, we can ask the Lord to bless the emblems. Here's the place you can put the little cups as you go up there over there. You throw them away, they're disposable. Heavenly Father, we thank you now for this time of gathering round your table, Lord. And we worship you, O God, because we know as never before that as you said to those people, Lord Jesus, and Paul got it right from Almighty God, do this in remembrance of me. And Lord, tonight we can say the same thing we are doing in remembrance of you. And you yourself, Lord, having come down, manifested by your Spirit through the prophet, the Son of Man ministry, absolutely vindicating that Jesus is risen from the dead. And soon there will be an incarnation of that Spirit that's in our midst. We going up to the wedding supper with him, and then coming back in glory upon those white horses to take possession of our possession which you bought, gave to us again, claiming you as our headship, Lord, now and forevermore. What a delight it is to know that what they saw in Isaiah 61, repeated in Isaiah 42, hurling it all forth into victory. And we are the victorious ones. We appreciate that, Lord, tonight. We love you for it, and we thank you. And may something so deep within our hearts have stirred and come forth, Lord, by revelation, the integrity of God in manifestation coming now into hearts of men and women by the Holy Ghost to bring us forth in that same integrity, truly adopted in the presence of God in the world. Unto you we give glory tonight as we come by this table, partaking in Jesus' name. Amen. Just thinking, sitting there, that Brother Branham started this message with the tremendous principle of God saying, let there be, let there be, let there be. And there had to be. And tonight we learn again that let there be these mansions. And we know that to get there is going to take a resurrection. So we're happy tonight again to know that whatever God said, let there be, it's right on the verge of fulfillment, the fullness of the Lord. And that's worth remembering and building us up in faith. Let's rise and be dismissed at this time. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for your love, mercy, and grace you bestowed upon us. Lord, the joy of the Spirit of the Word, Lord, our desire is completely fulfilled in you, and we know they are because we have the Word that we believe in, Lord, and we believe that your desire is being fulfilled in us because it has been enunciated clearly and proven to us, O God. And therefore, we believe, or as the Scripture said, Brother Branham, saying it, that this is that hour in which we are in you and you are in us and we're one, Lord. And that's the way it is because you said so. We believe it, Lord. More and more we believe it and thank you for it. Now be with us as we go, Lord God, in heaven, and bring us back to more safe and sound in the joy of the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Take the name of Jesus with you.
You will notice something in here. Paul says in 23, I have received the Lord that which I delivered unto you. That the Lord Jesus, the same night which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke and said, take ye, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner, he also took the cup when he supped, saying, this is the cup of the New Testament, my blood. This do ye as oft ye drink in remembrance of me. As oft ye drink this, eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Now, I got out of that and spoke about a little bit, more or less just hinting, a couple times that the communion table itself is where he says here, as oft as you eat and drink, you show forth the Lord's death. But he said, when you break the bread and when you drink the wine, you do it in remembrance of me. Now, the thing is this, if you are going to break the bread and you are going to do it in remembrance of him, you got to remember who he is. And he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. So we ought to take the 6th chapter of John and study it thoroughly, and perhaps we'll just do so. Because as these things open up to me, I go into them. And I've never had any problem at this point because the Lord helps me. So we'll look at that. So remember that he is the bread that came down from heaven. And Brother Branham said, I don't know if I got it here or not. Is this the one? He said, he's the one you're feeding on. You're not feeding on a man. A man, his words will fail, but you're feeding on the unfailing body word of the Son of Man. Now, he was the Son of Man. So, in other words, he was the great teacher. And he taught by precept and he taught by example. As the Scripture distinctly says, Jesus began both to do and to teach. In other words, he thoroughly vindicated himself. And as the Son of Man, he thoroughly vindicated himself again. So, We have a double charge from God in the sense we have the history, we have the word, we have the perfection, and it's been given again. So we have Alpha and Omega at one particular time, so that we are not confused as those who think on Him. We don't anymore have to think on Him and puzzle. We know on Him, and it's been perfectly revealed. See what I'm trying to tell you? So therefore, when it says you break this bread, you pick up the bread to eat it, you must remember Him. Now, remember He said, you show His death until He come. Now, you cannot put that in the context of the presence. You have to put it in the context of where He said, you and I will eat it together again as glorified human beings upon this earth, or at the wedding supper where it's going to be. We're going to have it. But when I look at this particular instance, where we ourselves have come together and to think upon Him, we do not have the days of the Son of Man with us now. But we think back on the days of the Son of Man, and what am I telling you? Where I've been preaching all these years, every time you hear me preach, vindication, 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 prophet, 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 God, 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 and us in one. Do you show me I'm preaching? You and I are going to have faith. So I got 800 cases back there. I may hit you with every single one of them. Think on Him, the Son of Man. Now let yourselves go. Let the real Spirit of Christ come into your thinking tonight. With my preaching, I know, brother, sister, it's terribly hard because I drive. When I get through banging your ears between two gongs, it's very hard to hear the sweet song of the thrush. But if you can do it, and if I can do it, let yourself go. Let your pulse begin to cease its racing. Your mind is speculation. And just think of those days when Brother Branham stood there with Thus Saith the Lord. The ministry, the days of the Son of Man. Just before Sodom and Gomorrah. Just before the coming of the Son in flesh. Again. And remember, the church cannot produce it. Only Christ can, only the bride can produce that coming back. Let ourselves go. And begin to quieten our spirits and our souls. Until the beautiful holy hush. As we think about that Son of Man ministry, and God Himself here with the prophet. And Brother Branham said, as you think those sweet thoughts of that person you loved, His Spirit draws nearer. How much more than the Spirit of Christ? When you think of Him who was here with us, who's given up those days now and is now leading us into the millennium. And then He said, when you drink that wine, do it and remember Him. Now this is scripture. This is the same as saying when you gather the eggs, you will not put them in a bucket. You put them in a basket. You say, how can you possibly make that comparison? Because it's easy and that's what it should be like. In other words, this is not difficult to do. And it's a commandment. I dare not do this other than to remember Him. How do I remember? Listen, I don't remember the historical Jesus. I have nothing to do with Him. But since He's risen from the dead and now by the same source of authority and power, which is God, Elohim, Jehovah, Jehovah Elohim, that same one is now doing here what He did in the flesh of that one who's now on His Father's throne waiting for us. Beautiful. Think of Him. Think of Him. Because you can't do otherwise. You can't think of the Father though thinking the Son are not the same person. You cannot think of the Son without thinking of the Father, because there's no such thing, because you cannot be a Father without a Son, you can't be a Son without a Father. And anybody that tries to make John say something different is a little bit, I don't know what's wrong with him, but he sure hasn't got the same idea I got. Spirit, I won't talk about spirit. But he says here, I want you to remember me. What is your remembrance tonight of vindication? What is your remembrance and my remembrance of the things that we saw and heard, of the things we assuredly know? In other words, brother, sister, let's understand this very, very conclusively. What we remember and continue to remember will fill our thoughts until other thoughts will not have any precedence or any place. And since He is the Word, as we view these things and keep our minds ever fresh with them, there will come a time, and this is a part of it, of the filling by the Word of the Holy Ghost until we come to complete headship. Do not be dismayed and do not worry because we strike plateaus. There are times when we strike plateaus which we do not like because we seem to be at a standstill. But remember this, there was a time when Jesus was very tired and He took time out to rest. He wasn't there telling anybody anything or doing anything. He's simply resting. And I believe we have these plateaus as Christian brothers and sisters in the church. And though it isn't perhaps to our liking, we're not excited and all. But remember, there's a maturation and a growth going on. Because as we keep thinking, we'll be piling those word upon word, sinking those beautiful thoughts of vindication. And I believe that my preaching of vindication is what has stabilized me, at least to the point I know it's vindicated. And I don't have to preach of conscience sake because I know something was there. Hey, I know something was there. And I make my testimony, I still make it. But how beautiful to know that He said, look here, this is one more opportunity that I can remind you. Remember me. Remember who I am, where I came from, what I did, what I'm doing now, how I'm going to meet you. Brother Branham said he's gone to prepare a place. And we'll talk about the bosom of the Father, all these things will go along. And all these things are ours tonight. So let us come together as one body in fellowship in the Lord to take communion. We have foot washing. There's room for about ten people back there in the office room. And back there for the men beyond the curtain. Ladies out there, there's all kinds of room. And you're entirely welcome. We are not close communicants in any way, shape, and form. Everybody here either drinks unto himself, condemnation, or blessing. You can't do one thing to me, I can't do one thing to you. No way, shape, and form. It's between you and me, and between you and the Lord, and me and the Lord. So all right, let's rise at this time then. And the brethren come forward to serve. And we have two lines that with the communion table, with the passing of the wine, we have one stand for the bread. And it makes it easier that way. We come around the side. You all know, just watch how the other people are doing it. Come around the side and around here and out. We don't get in each other's way that way. So all right, are we ready? Let's bow our heads then in prayer. Heavenly Father, we commend the rest of this service to You. Thank You for the fine time You've given us looking in the Word, the joy and inspiration of being together. Knowing, Lord God, we may be a very nervous people in this hour. It seems everything is this way, that way. But we know, Lord, the Word of God is not nervous. No, 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 no. It keeps on calming us down, helping us, blessing us, life flowing out of it, love flowing out of it, fruit flowing out of it, everything flowing out of it, or we don't want it. If everything doesn't come from that Word, Lord, we know that's the Word. We don't want it. We just want that Word, Lord. And even now as we partake tonight, we're remembering You, the Son of Man, how You came, and how we came just like You, except that we bypassed that Spirit or Word body. All of these things, Lord, meant to put us into fellowship through divine grace and unity as never before. And a little bride here, part of her, Lord, in complete solemn unity and oneness and love. Oh, great agape love of God, even a great human love toward each other because we just simply enjoy each other and so happy with each other. May Your blessing continue. Grace abound and above all growth, full baptism with the Holy Ghost, full measure. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
We stand with the word of the Lord. I was just thinking that
The Bible says a twofold cord is not easily broken. Doesn't say it can't be. But it's not easily broken. You get about 150, like we are tonight, beyond what would be impossible to break it. In the end time, this Bible speaks of drawing sin with a cart rope. If that can be done with a cart rope, then how about righteousness with the other side of the rope? So tonight we find ourselves in a good position. The enemy may be up like a flood, but the Lord has raised up a standard, which is the vindicated word. So we have every right to go home with hope and joy and peace and confidence in our lives that we're not one of those people that came together and left in worse shape than we came. I don't believe that for one minute. I'm in better shape than I came, and I think that you're responsible for it. And all together we're going on with the Lord. Let's rise and be dismissed. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for your mercy and goodness, which has been like a flood in this last day, waters upon the dry ground. And it's going to bring forth this old desert, rotten world into a tremendous garden of God as the dead come out of the ground and the other living ones in the first part of the first resurrection join us at the great wedding supper, coming back a little while later to take over in the kingdom of God, setting it in order once more. All those things will be gone and we'll be in the fullness of the word even as we have already begun to enter into it. We thank you for health and strength, Lord, and we take this message for our healing. All of these things, Lord, are found here, and we know that all of our hope and health and strength comes from you. Now, as we go tonight, be with us on the way home. Keep us, guide us, protect us, Lord. Bring us back tomorrow, even more full of the Holy Spirit, marching design, and the power and love of God. Now, unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power, honor, and glory through Jesus Christ, our blessed Savior. Amen. Take the name of Jesus with you. Concerning the Lord's Supper, and one of my favorites, of course, is where the Apostle Paul in the 11th chapter is telling the people how he received the Lord, what he delivered to them. And the Apostle Paul was vindicated. Now, here's something, you see, where this Apostle stood, like the Rock of Gibraltar and even stronger. He said, I want to tell you something. I only delivered to you what God delivered to me. What a tremendous testimony that is, and the fact that Paul, being vindicated by the manifestations that followed his ministry, by thus saith the Lord, never for one minute deviated from the truth or the headship of the Holy Spirit. He never changed the word. He didn't care about gain. He wasn't interested. They beat him 39 stripes. That's one less than 40. 5 times. Or I forget how many. We read in the 2 Corinthians. Anyway. How he's left for dead. How that he was in the water. In a shipwreck. How that the man, there's nothing could change him. You couldn't get him to deviate from his testimony. What he gave them. What God gave him for one split second. Now, that's a testimony to two things. Number one, it's the strength of God and the mind of God in that this man could not say anything but what was the Word of God so thoroughly burned and indelibly in his mind that if that man tried to tell a lie, he couldn't tell a lie. And yet he stood there like any other man, as you and I understand, that every man's got a weakness. And he could have told a lie. Now, let's look at it. He couldn't. Now, let's put it this way. It wasn't worth it to him to tell a lie. There was no value in telling a lie. There was no reason to tell a lie. Why should he tell a lie? Why should he change anything? See, the point is, that's what we're looking at. Live, die, sink, or swim. Why should the man change anything? Why should you and I change anything? Why are people changing things about this message here? I got all marked up and all. What good's it going to do them? You know they're going to pay a price that's unbelievable. Number one, they'll go to the great tribulation if they die. After that, they'll go to the white throne. They're already before the white throne. Not every time I turn around, but you'd be surprised how many times
I have scripture in what Brother Branham said to prove we are before the white throne. Do you realize at the time of Noah, they were before the white throne? They were already condemned. And you understand when Brother Branham said souls in prison, they already were before the white throne. And you and David and Daniel talk about thrones being set up and the whole world's being set up. Dictators, everything else. All coming under a headship. Now the point is, what would it be to tell a lie? Paul the Apostle already knew. If there's money to be gotten, he said, God will give me all sufficiency for all things as long as I learn how to sow. We've learned that here. I know some of you have. My God, I'm not the only one standing here that's learned it. Impossible for me to believe that kind of stuff. And yet I can witness over the years. What to sell out? So he tells them here, I delivered what God told me to deliver to you. Now I'm telling you, he said about the night. Now the night he's talking about, the word same in there is interpolated. It's just put in there. It's italics. That the Lord Jesus, that the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And I don't have to put the word same in there because that is the night. If it's that night, it's the same night. What are we talking about? See, when you throw a word in there that doesn't belong, it's kind of goofy. Man's thinking. Just like the former and the latter rain. They say they put the word month in there. It's not the word month at all. He's going to give you what he gave you before. Which is Paul's word revealed. Not a word missing. Not one. And believe me, Brother Branham gave us a complete revelation for this hour to the Laodicean church to put us in the rapture, period. It's a message that brings immortality. See? The last step on. Now he said, when he was betrayed, he took bread. He given thanks, he broke it, said, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Now as I said before, that isn't just the fact that night. Remember the fact that he's betrayed. Remember this and remember that. Remember him, period. And you know Brother Branham brought him to our remembrance? He sure did. He's the one that did it. Now they remembered about him, and the story went out, this man that even raised the dead, could he not have saved himself and come off the cross? Could he not have done something when he raised the dead and multiplied the loaves and fishes and turned the water into wine and stopped the storm? Remember. No? Remember. But he didn't do it that night. He just said, remember who I am. And Brother Branham said, the same one that was there in flesh doing all those miracles owed it to the Gentiles to appear at the last time, which he's already appeared and done the miracles and proved that Jesus is risen from the dead, our mediator and our intercessor right there up there on the glory seat because his Father's down here putting all things under his feet, getting us all ready for rapture. Now he said, remember, I can remember. Now that was in Matthew 12 and Matthew 4. Remember. Yeah, now listen, let's get this flat. Oh, then we remember the words of the Lord. Under what condition? Of further manifestation. In this hour now, under the manifestation. Now we remember the words of the Lord. Remember that one. Make much of him. What Brother Branham made much of. Think about him. Talk about him. No, he's not the one that was yesterday and tomorrow. He's the I Am. And he's Hebrews 13 and 8 according to Genesis 18. Now, after the same manner, he took the cup saying, this is the cup in the New Testament, my blood, this do is off you drink remembrance of me. Now, there's not two remembrances. It's the same remembrance. The same remembrance. You know, people really get happy when I don't do it anymore, but they used to be so happy and I'd take an hour and a half to 2 hours talking about Brother Branham, his ministry and my part in it, which was as a viewer, which is very, very interesting. And I've forgotten a lot of things I never did know, never heard as much as I'd like to have heard. But the point is, when you say remember him, what does that do for you?
What does it do for you? Just say, well, he died. No. No, it's more than that. You know something? The fact of the matter is, after the disciples got really full of the Holy Ghost, their remembrance was the word that he taught and the hour in which they lived, and they positively glowed with the manifestation of God in that hour. That's really remembering. You bet. And so we're trying to get ourselves to that place also. So now, but he said, in the eating and drinking, you show his death till he come. And that's the physical. Because he said, one day we're going to eat and drink with him anew in the kingdom. He said, wherefore, whosoever eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. What is he telling you that there? He's telling you the same thing Brother Branham is saying. In vain do you worship me if you are in your traditions. This is a rite given to the church, foot washing and communion and water baptism. And you can have all three, but if you're a Trinitarian and you're off the word, where are you? See? It isn't going to work. It's just void. It's vain. In fact, the Bible distinctly says you can do this in such a way that you can cause problems for yourself. You can have judgment come upon you because you're not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are sick and so-and-so. If we judge ourselves, we would not be chastened. So again, we come to that place, brother, sister, where I have just one thought continually in my mind, and that is with this message. This message is right back at the same time Moses gave his, the same that Paul gave his. It's the same every single time. It's the occupation of our mind with the Word of God, with our intellects and our spirit, bringing it down deep into our souls. And that's based upon this complete revelation that God gave us. The full acceptation of the passive faith, the revelatory doctrine from which all else springs. And if that is not correct, no matter what we do, it won't work. Why? Because the leadership is not of God. The first one that ever led anybody off the word was the devil, and he took him off one word. Now the point is this. Who is the leader of you and of me and those men or anybody if they are off this word? What is their condition when they know there's something different like this man here that Brother Branham speaks of and yet refuses? Something got in the boy's way, which was money at that time. What about if it's your prestige? What about if you're some ranking member of the group? What about if Brother Branham said, how many ministers will not come to this message because there's a pension at stake? Fiddlesticks. Pension. It's going to go down the drain. Hey, it's getting serious about the money and the stock market. I know little things that I could indulge in and try to protect myself. And I thought of it. There's no protection at this point. So, Brother Bill, what happens that if there's things you could have done and you haven't done them? Well, I'll be with like everybody else. Better to trust the Lord and go down, really trying to trust God and try to take some measure of something that you could do. Because it's going to go anyway. It's going to end up in the mark of the beast. It won't work. So, all right, let's remember, brother, sister, him. And you can only really remember him by his word, because he is the word. And that's where we stand tonight. So let's rise at this time. The ushers will help you to come around here to take the communion. There's one for the bread and one on each side, so don't forget to split and come by both sides. There's a place to put the little communion cups that we dispose of. So the brethren come forward now, and of course those that play up front here will be first to receive communion, and Brother Lloyd will take us in the service here just as soon as we bow our heads in prayer over the elements. Heavenly Father, at this particular time of embracing this right that you set before us, this ordinance in the church of eating and drinking, particularly in remembering of you. And we remember, Lord, with sweetness and fondness, the days of the Son of Man when the prophet revealed him, Holy Spirit moving in him, proof of the resurrection from the dead, the proof of God, in our midst the pillar of fire leading us into thy name. These things, Lord, we think of with all the beauty of the word, to such an extent was not known to man before. How wonderful it is, therefore, to realize that your death opened the door, and the coming forth of your Holy Spirit secured it unto us. And so here we are tonight. That which is perfect has come. What more would anybody want? Not that we want anything except more and more walking in the light until thoroughly full of the Holy Spirit we are, as the prophet proclaimed we could be. We give glory unto you in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Be dismissed. And don't forget that every time we come to service and pile word upon word, it means more of the Holy Spirit filling us, which is what these services are all about. So let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you again for the privilege you've given us to be here with the saints of God, knowing that you yourself are here in the form of a pillar of fire to lead the bride into the millennium. And every single word, Lord, which has been given to us has either been fulfilled, is being fulfilled, or will yet be fulfilled in the continuity in which it was set forth, for which we appreciate it very, very much. And help us, Lord, to just rely, relax, rest upon it, even as the prophet said this was the hour of relaxation. We pray you'll take us safe to our homes. We might have a good night's rest. And we might come back tomorrow, Lord, expecting more from thee, from thy word, Lord, to be more and more filled, to be more and more what you'd have us to be, and which we ourselves desire, which to be changed to immortality. The one of the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power, honor, and glory through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Take the name of Jesus with you.